Hi, you're listening to The Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
Today's our first Sunday of our new series called Tales from the Crypt. Ooh. Stories of when, stories throughout Scripture of when people came back from the dead. Today's story, it's a crazy story. It's a wild story. It's a story about Saul who goes out into the woods and consults with the Witch of Endor. And the Witch of Endor, not a Star Wars reference, but an actual place in the Bible, conjures up Samuel's ghost. And Samuel and Saul have this exchange. It's a very, very interesting story. But our key verse today is actually from the Gospel of John. It's near the end of the Gospel of John where Jesus and Pilate are speaking with each other. So I invite you to stand as we read our key verse today. It's from John chapter 18. Let's read together. "You are a king, then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I'm a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this, and I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" said Pilate. After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no grounds for charging him." Amen. That was the story of Jesus before Pilate talking about what does it mean to be a king? What does it mean to communicate truth? Today's reading is from the book of 1 Samuel. It's in the Old Testament. And the book of Samuel talks about the kingdom of Israel. Well, they're not a kingdom yet. The people Israel demand a king. Samuel is their religious leader at the time, and the people rise up and they say, "We want a king. We want a king like the other nations have a king." So Samuel goes to God and says, "The people want a king. What am I supposed to do?" And God says, "Okay, give them a king, but let them know how this is going to work out if they want a king. It's not going to work out well for you should you want to have a king." Samuel tells this to the people. They want a king anyway. So Samuel anoints Saul as the first king of Israel. Our story today is really the final unraveling of Saul's kingship. He kind of eventually, not long after he becomes king, he starts to like do everything wrong. And it unravels everything. And eventually what happens is the kingdom of Israel is captured and goes into exile in the nation of Babylon. So today's story is the final unraveling. One really neat thing about the story today is almost everything that's said, like that the characters say in the story, almost everything that is said, the opposite of it is true. This is crazy. This is a lot of fun. This is from 1 Samuel, chapter 28. Now, I know that Methodists, your Bibles are so big, you typically leave them at home on Sunday morning. I invite you to follow along with me. But I know that your Bible, you probably left it at home. It was too heavy to carry. So folks are getting out their phone. If you have your Bible with you, or if you have an app or something that you like to read along, I invite you to follow along. This is 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning with verse 3. I'm going to read this story because it's just too good not to. This is crazy. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. Saul had expelled the mediums and wizards from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. Saul gathered all of Israel, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, not by dreams or Urim with an M. It's a little stone that they would put, that the priest would put on their breastplate, Urim, or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go to her and inquire of her." His servants said to him, "There is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes. That word is important. Remember that. He put on other clothes and went there, he with two men. They came to the woman by night. And he said, yeah, those of you in the Gospel of John study, I just said that he came to her by night. Oh, sounds important. And it is. Yeah. So he said to her, consult a spirit for me and bring up for me the one whom I name to you. The woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off all the mediums and the wizards from the land. Why then are you laying a snare for me to bring about my death? Remember, there's still more of the story. Remember that almost everything that a character says, the opposite is true of what's actually going on. All right, cool. We'll continue. But Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come to you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? He answered, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. And the king said to her, have no fear. Tell me what you see. The woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming up from the ground. And he said to her, what is his appearance? She said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe. So Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed his face to the ground, and he observed him. Then Samuel, the ghost, said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, neither by prophets or by dreams. So I have summoned you to tell me what I should do. Samuel, the ghost, said, why do you ask me? Since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy, the Lord has done to you just as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you today. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. The woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, your servant has listened to you. I have taken my life into my own hands, and I have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you should listen to me, your servant. Eat, so that you may have strength, and go on your way. He refused and said, I will not eat. I will not eat them with a fox. I will not eat them in a box. I'm lost my place. But his servants together with the women urged him, and he listened to their words. So he got up from the ground. Remember that phrase. He got up from the ground. What else? Samuel came up from the ground. There's a play of words here happening. He got up off the ground and sat on a bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house. She quickly slaughtered it. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked it into unleavened cakes. She put them before Saul, and he and his servants ate. They rose up and went away that night. It's a crazy story of ghosts and witches, and it's in the Bible. This is just crazy. What helps with this story is to see it as a four-scene play. It really reads as if something is happening on stage. Scene one is a prologue, and it tells us everything we need to know. This first little bit, it says, Samuel is dead. Saul has expelled the mediums and the wizards. Saul is afraid, and God is silent. That's scene one. We hear this prologue of story. Interesting, throughout the story, all four of these things are turned on their head. And the opposite of these things happen in the story. So imagine this as a play. We've just heard the prologue of what happens. Samuel is dead. That ends up not being true, right? He comes up from the ground. Saul has expelled the mediums and the wizards. only except that he meets with one in the middle of the woods, right? Saul is afraid, even though he tells the woman, "Oh, don't be afraid. Tell me what you see. Calm down. There's only a ghost standing in front of you. Calm down." And then God is silent. God is speaking through. So, God's silence sets the action in the story. It sets everything into motion. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. So he prayed to God, but he got no answer. So he gathered his stewards together, and they asked him to go find a medium with whom he can consult. Interesting thing. We heard in the prologue that Saul has expelled all of the mediums and the wizards from the land, yet Saul asks his men to go find one. It's almost like an oxymoron happening. He expels them from the land, but then sends people to go find one so that he can benefit from their service. Another ironic thing in this story is that Saul is unnerved at God's silence, except Saul wasn't listening to God when God was speaking. Saul isn't happy with God when God speaks. Saul isn't happy with God when God doesn't speak. It's you can't live with him, can't live without him kind of a thing going on here, right? As the curtain rises on scene two, we've heard the prologue. Now the curtain is rising on scene two. Saul's men find this medium in the woods of Endor. Saul takes off, and this is important. It says that Saul takes off his kingly garment, and he puts on other clothes. In Hebrew, the word for other clothes is similar to the word meaning treachery. He takes off his kingly garments and he puts on treachery. In other words, if you're watching this like as a play, if seeing it before you, you can literally see Saul's authority as a king being stripped away. He takes off his kingly robe and puts on treachery. Puts on these other clothes, and he goes in disguise to this medium. I mean, he pronounces a rule. He expels all the mediums. He pronounces a rule that neither he nor anyone else apparently cared about or followed. His authority is being stripped away, and it was night. You on Thursday nights know what this means. When action happens at night in Scripture, this is not good, what is happening here. He puts on treachery, and then meets someone in the middle of the woods at night. Saul approaches the medium, and he asks, "Consult a spirit for me, and bring up for me the one whom I name to you." And the woman replies, this is interesting, the woman replies, "Surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the wizards from the land. Why are you trying to lay a snare for my life and bring about my death?" Keep in mind the things that people say in the story. The opposite is actually true. She's looking at this man in disguise and says, "Surely you know what Saul has done." Of course he does. He's Saul, okay? Surely you know. He has expelled the mediums and the wizards from the land. No, he hasn't, because they're like, she is a medium and she's in the land. It's this strange convert. And she says, "Why are you laying a trap for me and asking of my life?" This is not actually a trap for her, and it's not her life that is being asked of by the end of the story. It's not her death that Samuel will report. Now, this is interesting. Saul, he makes a pronouncement, because she's like, "Why are you asking me to do this?" And he says something like this, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon doing this thing. No punishment shall come before you. This Saul, who has taken off his kingly robes and has put on other clothes or treachery or in disguise, he's now speaking on behalf of the Lord. You know, the Lord who is not currently speaking to him. He makes this pronouncement, "So by the name of the Lord, nothing wrong will happen to you." You know, in the Hebrew, this is very interesting. In the Hebrew, this is actually an incomplete thought in the Hebrew. A more literal translation goes something like this: "As the Lord lives, should you hold any guilt over this thing?" What? Nothing. It's an incomplete thought. "As the Lord lives, should you hold any guilt over this thing?" It's a way of saying that Saul has lost all of his ability to govern and to be a king. Even when he's making a pronouncement, it's an incomplete thought. As the Lord lives, should you carry any guilt for this thing? Whom shall I bring up for you? She asks. Samuel. Saul replies. This term, bring up, that she's, who do you want me to bring up for you? It's a Hebrew word meaning exalt. To bring up, to exalt. Lord, I lift your name on, to exalt, right? Remember that. That will be important later on in the story. Who do you want me to bring up for you? Saul. So she brings Saul up. She exalts Saul, so to speak, from the ground, from this other place. It never defines where this place is. Samuel's ghost appears, and then the medium recognizes that it's Samuel, and she goes, you're the king. You're Saul. What are you doing? Why did you deceive me? And she's freaking out about this. She hears this great prophet. Never mind that there's a ghost that has just come up from the ground. She's looking at Samuel, who's this great prophet, and she realized that it's the king. Remember? The king who expelled all the mediums and wizards from the land under penalty of death. She's freaking out. She's between a ghost and the king who wants to kill her for being a medium. She goes, what have you done? What have you done? And Saul looks at her and says, do not be afraid. Tell me what you see. Do not be afraid, Saul says. Why is Saul in the woods to begin with? He's scared out of his mind. He looked at the size of the Philistine army and was shaking in his boots. But yet, he's telling her, oh, do not worry. Do not be afraid. Just tell me what you see. Remember, almost everything that the characters say in the story, the opposite is actually true. Be not afraid. Tell me what you see. Now, in the next scene, we get to hear what Samuel says to Saul. And it's nothing new. Saul says to him, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me. Pay attention to the order of his concern. The ghost of Samuel is there, and what does Saul say? I am really, really concerned because the size of that army is very, very, very big. Oh yeah, and by the way, God is no longer talking. His priorities are exactly backwards, right? Samuel, tell me what to do. This army is really, really big. Oh, yeah. And then there's this God thing. God is not talking. I'm mildly concerned about that as well. So, Samuel replies to Saul in the correct order. He says, why are you bothering me? You didn't listen to me when I was alive. You never listened to God. Why are you bothering me now? In other words, Saul starts from a place of fear because of war. Oh, and by the way, there's this issue I'm having with God. Samuel replies to him in the correct order, saying, you didn't listen to God, which is why God is silent today. Moreover, the kingdom will be given to David. Oh, yes, and by the way, you and your sons will be with me tomorrow. Ooh. What a terrible way to end that conversation. By the way, you're going to be with me. This whole afterlife thing, you and your sons are going to be with me tomorrow. So the next scene, in a way, begins where Saul is fearful. He's throwing himself on the ground, and the woman sees that Saul is terrified. Now, how might you expect this woman to react to Saul, who set out to kill her, who came in disguise to trap her? What does she say? She comes up and she goes, I see that you're in a bind. I'm going to make some food. And why don't you eat it? Why don't you gain some strength? Why don't you eat it? And how does Saul reply to that? No. He crosses his arm and he pouts like a child. No. I'm angry. I'm upset. I don't want to eat anything. Saul does everything wrong. Here's this woman who put her life on the line to conjure this ghost up for Saul. And what is she doing? She's now serving him a meal. I see that you're in distress. I'll make some cakes and we'll have a meal together. No. But then eventually, Saul acquiesces and says, okay, I'll eat. And they eat. And then scripture says they rose up and went on their way. Now, this is a different word, to rise up. Samuel's ghost rose up from the ground, and it means exalt. This is really cool. Saul and his men, they rise up and set out for war. This kind of word, rise up, is like when Cain rose up against Abel. It's a word of antagonism. It's a word that leads to war. They rose up and went on their way. It's a word game. This story is giving us this word play. Samuel, prophet of God, rises up, which means exalted. Saul rises up against all that God is trying to do. It's a word play on this word. Saul was king of Israel, and he did like everything wrong. When God blessed the people Israel with a king, he said, okay, you can have a king, but here's the deal, is the king must follow the law on your behalf of the people. So the king must be faithful to me. And Saul turned from God. And what happened is the people Israel eventually were taken into exile because the kings were not holding their bargain. So Jesus, on the last week of his life, came into Jerusalem. And the people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. They took palm branches, right? Remember, we usually on Palm Sunday walk in, you know, kids are, I don't know how we do it here yet, but Hosanna, Hosanna, and the palm branches are waving. Palm branches is a sign of Israel's independence. It's a sign of independence. If you go to the Holy Land and look at the synagogues that they've excavated, they all have palm branches on the building because a palm branch is a sign of independence. It's like waving an American flag saying, save us, save us. When the crowd shouts, save us, they're not speaking spiritually. They're saying, King Jesus, save us from Rome. Kick Rome out. Save us. So Jesus eventually gets captured, and he's sitting with Pilate. And Pilate asks him, so, you are a king then? When Jesus and Pilate are talking, Jesus is typically silent. Pilate keeps asking him these questions, and Jesus doesn't say anything. Until, so, you're a king. And then Jesus breaks the silence that so unnerved Saul. God was silent with Saul. Jesus breaks that silence by saying, you say that I'm a king, because the picture of king in your mind is Saul, a kingdom built by murdering your opponent, a kingdom built only on power and land and borders. I'm a king who is building a kingdom of mercy, love, a kingdom built on sacrifice and grace. You say that I'm a king, but I am not that kind of king. Through faithfulness, well, through Saul's unfaithfulness, Israel unraveled and was captured. But through Christ's faithfulness, that's what we talk about, Christ is our king, our representative of people to God. Because of Christ's fidelity to God, we have communion with God. Through Jesus' faithfulness, we find everlasting life. He's building a, Jesus ate with the poor, walked with sinners. He proclaimed that the oppressed should go free. He's building a world in which we no longer have to hide like Saul did, put on treachery to get a job done. No. Christ is asking us to live according to the way that God is blessing us to be. God has given us gifts and asked us and is asking us to go out into the world and to reveal this kingdom that God is building. So, as we leave this place, I invite us all to arise. Not rise up against, but to rise up and to exalt the name of God and to point to the kingdom that God is already building, a kingdom of love and of mercy and of grace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.